All right, we'll see if Mike Silver sees it. He joins us now on the Dialpad guest line. Mike, it's Ryan Covey. It's, of course, Ray Ratto and Whitey Gleason.
Hello.
Happy holidays to you. This Marshawn Lynch potential reunion with the Seahawks, what's your take on it? It just seems like this is obviously desperation time for the Seattle Seahawks.
Totally. I love every single thing about it. You know, it's one of the guys I've loved watching the most. You know, he has a very complicated relationship with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and that organization. And they are in the midst, as you said, of a desperate situation, not only at running back, but just injuries in general. And yet it's a team that continues to fight and a lot of times stays in games they have no business being in. And I don't know if it's going to work, but it's an inspired idea, and maybe it'll add yet another layer to what could be an incredibly compelling matchup.
Is there an advantage in having him as opposed to, say, anybody else other than he used to be there?
Yes. I mean, you know, we don't know how he's going to perform, but, you know, he runs with a ferocity that few others ever have. He is familiar with, you know, at least some of what they do. And he's, you know, he's a big game player. So, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a few weeks. I don't know what his physical conditioning is and all that, but it's certainly an exciting idea. And they'll have, you know, they'll sign somebody else and or they'll get young Mr. Homer ready the best they can. And Russell Wilson will probably have to, you know, do some magical things for them to have a chance. But it's interesting.
Mike Silver with us on 95.7 The Game, and you obviously watch a lot. You've watched a lot of NFL football, Michael. What did you make of the pair of 3rd and 16 conversions, pardon me, on the 49ers winning drive? Have you ever seen anything quite like that?
I mean, it's pretty epic, you know. My understanding was that they hadn't converted a 3rd and 15 all year. There are other stats where that's only happened on a game-winning drive now twice in 40 years. And really, the whole setting was interesting to me because you had a Rams team trying to stave off elimination with a lot of pride that did a lot of epic things last January. Sean McVay brought the good stuff game plan wise. He brought the heat. He completely adjusted from the first meeting, moved Jared Goff, utilized the screen game, had him throwing on the run, and it worked really, really well. And Goff, you know, with one glaring exception, played a fantastic game, threw better on the run than I've ever seen him throw. Really, really executed it well, and even after the pick six, they were in position at 31 all to get the ball back and win that game. And so to have them 3rd and 16 twice, that's about all the Rams could ask for going into that situation. And yet, you know, Jimmy threw two really good passes. Obviously, there was a coverage breakdown that helped out on the second one, but you know, it's really clutch. And you know, we're talking about a 49er team that comes down to the last play in their last four games, that each of their three defeats has been on the last play. Nobody's really beaten this team, you know, beaten. And I suspect that week 17 could shape up the exact same way.
Go ahead, Ray.
What is the most hilarious scenario for you playoff-wise? The Eagles hosting a game or the Raiders completing a 19 parlay and getting in at all?
Well, it's more than a 19 parlay because we just talked about this on the Aftermath on NFL Network. If even if the final, you know, four things happen, you still need one of four teams to win to change the strength of victory thing. And those four teams, I think three of them you could really see losing in Chicago against the Vikings, Detroit against the Packers, the Chargers against the Chiefs, but then you have the Patriots against the Dolphins. So if you're the Raiders, if all four of those things happen to complete the nine-game, whatever that parlay word is, I don't know, I'll leave that to Brent Musburger and the experts.
Hey-o.
But a nine-game domino, and then you still need the Patriots to be the 10th. And I think a case could be made then of all the things that have to happen now, you know, on Sunday, maybe the most far-fetched is the Raiders going into Denver and winning that game. But, of course, it's exciting for them. They should definitely keep hope alive. And, you know, crazy things have happened before. It'll be fun to watch.
Mike Silver with us on 95.7 The Game. I don't know if you saw Terrell Owens just tweeted back at you. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh.
Is he mad?
Yeah, he's mad. So you defended him. And, yeah, he clapped back. So
clapped back at what? Clapped back at me saying he's one of the greatest players I've ever covered? What did he say?
Well, so this is what
– one of is the objectionable phrase.
Exactly. How dare you? No, I'll just read it real quick. He said that's because he quote-tweeted you saying about how you stuck up for T.O. on camera. The next time he sees you, he'll probably glare at you, right? All good. He came back and he said, that's because you threw shade back when you were trying to make a name for yourself and jumped on the bad wagons of those that tarnish my character with hearsay. As a player, I trusted you. Then you turned on me. So now you want brownie points for a quote stating the obvious. Thanks, Michael.
No good deed goes unpunished. I would quarrel with his characterization of our up and down relationship, and you know, I'm honored to be among the many, many, many people who T.O. believes have wronged him in some way.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the things that have motivated him. But I mean, like him not being on that list though seemed a little absurd to me. When I look at T.O., I think him and Randy Moss basically had the same career. But because Randy Moss is a pundit on ESPN now, Randy Moss is all good, even though he has kind of a checkered past. And I don't think Terrell ever did something so egregious. Like, yeah, he wasn't a great teammate at times, threw a few quarterbacks under the bus. But
OJ made the team, but T.O. didn't.
Right. I mean, Terrell Owens, you can't say great wide receivers of all time without saying Terrell Owens' name. So it seemed a little crazy to me that he wasn't on that list.
Well, the reason I've consistently argued T.O. over Randy Moss is because, in my opinion, you know, T.O., his effort was unassailable. And that's play to play, game to game, year to year, broken ankle in the Super Bowl, all of it. He always went hard on the backside. He always blocked. He always took pride in the little parts of his game. And you could count on that every single play. Randy Moss took seasons off.
Great point.
You know,
here, here.
And I think those of us who saw it up close in the Bay Area are a little more sensitive to it. And, oh, it was great, though. He got out of Oakland and went got to go play with Tom Brady and set records. But the way that he got there was ridiculous. The end of his time in New England was not pretty that way. There was a conference championship game at the Meadowlands that a lot of people believe he basically quit in. And he famously uttered the words, "I play what I want to play," to you know, further stigmatize himself. And he's great. He's one of the best I've ever covered, too. But if I had to choose one of the two, and their stats are nearly identical, I'll take the guy who went hard on every single play. And I don't want brownie points for saying that. That's just how I feel.
Mike, I know you wrote a lot about the Rams after the game Saturday. Where do the Rams go from here?
They're going to do some serious soul-searching, and they're not going to be passive. And Sean McVay took the league by storm as the youngest coach in modern NFL history, turned him around, got him to the playoffs, got him to the Super Bowl. And this year they, you know, they fought to the end, but came up short. And I think now he's going to try to do some fairly dramatic things. And one of those things is to get more help on the coaching side. And you could see a pretty significant shakeup on that coaching staff, including defensive coordinator Wade Phillips, who may retire. I think you'll see some player movement. I'm kind of convinced that Todd Gurley won't be back, even though it's a prohibitive cost cap-wise if they part ways. And I think, you know, the personnel department may be shaken up as well. So, you know, the Rams have been aggressive these last few years, including the Jalen Ramsey trade. Not every move has been great, but I have a lot of faith in Sean McVay. He's a driven guy. He brought the A-plus game plan, as I said, you know, on Monday and or I'm sorry, Saturday.
Sure.
And I think he will come back swinging.
Do you have the same level of faith in Les Snead?
You know, I think Sean is the driving force in that organization, and I think Sean has to decide a lot of things, and Sean and Les have to sit in a room and figure out organizationally what that battle plan is. But, you know, I think Sean's the rock star. And just as, and I would say the same thing about the 49ers, and I have a ton of regard for John Lynch, but I think Kyle is the rock star. And sometimes, you know, that's just how it is in an organization.
Just, I want to make sure I heard you quickly. You think that you see the Rams potentially moving on from Todd Gurley this offseason?
Yes.
Wow. And that would, I mean, obviously that would come with a huge cap hit for them, so they would rather just eat that money than have the services of Todd Gurley.
I don't know. I just believe that they, you know, Todd Gurley was the best back in football, arguably, the previous couple of seasons,
sure,
the first two Sean McVay years. We can talk about why he wasn't this year, and there are a lot of different ways to look at it, but, you know, he is not the same, thus their play-action game is not the same, the foundation of that offense, a lot of what they do. And, you know, they really like rookie Darrell Henderson. You know, I knew going into Saturday's game that he was going to get a lot of run, and they were really excited about unleashing him. And then I think the first time he touched the ball, he hurt his ankle and never got back in. So that was a setback. But he's going to get a look, and, you know, they may just try to do it a different way. And it's not, you know, they've paid a lot of guys. It's not a luxury at this point that they can afford to have. You know, they obviously paid Jared Goff. They paid Aaron Donald, which is a no-brainer. They may well pay Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, as the Seahawks did in that Super Bowl era and coming out of that, you can pay a lot of guys more than is commonly believed, but you got to pay the right guys. And then that can, you know, you can revamp and change those decisions abruptly. The Seahawks got to a point where they said, we're getting rid of everyone except Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner and trying to rebuild it around them.
Right.
You know, the Rams aren't saying we're going to completely rebuild it around Jared Goff and Aaron Donald, but I think it's a little closer to that model than people realize.
All right, well, we'll be looking forward to your next tweet with Terrell Owens. And no, in the meantime, hey, have a great holiday, Mike. And I know all the listeners at 95.7 The Game appreciate you coming on the station and giving us your insights. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Have a great holiday, you guys.